Muy buenos días y bienvenidos a mi comunidad a través de Mega 101. Mi nombre es Eli Escobar. Bienvenidos. Feliz domingo. Esta mañana estamos platicando con Eva Villarreal de Collaborative for Children, una organización sin fines de lucro que se enfoca en las fortalezas de la educación temprana a través de la ciudad de Houston. Trabajan con padres de familia, maestros, educadores y líderes locales para asegurar el crecimiento y éxito para los niños a largo plazo. Eva, muchísimas gracias. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Gracias, gracias. Thank you.
Eva, let's talk about this great organization, Collaborative for Children, and what it's doing in the community to help those parents, teachers, caregivers to get involved with the children every day for a long-term success.
So Collaborative for Children has been around for 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. They've been very involved in the improvement of quality for childcare providers across the 13 counties. So not just in Houston, mm-hmm. Central, but, you know, spreading out miles and miles out as
right.
Houston does. And what we want to do is not just the teachers, but the parents, help them understand that they do have the power. Some people think, well, we're not the teachers per se in the
right.
school district. We can't do anything, but the power is with the teachers and with the parents and everybody that speaks to a child and meeting the needs of what they need to hear.
Of course. And what has been some of the biggest challenges for teachers to try to get the message across that we need help, that we do need mentoring, even though we are teachers and educators and parents, we do need these resources. What has been the biggest challenge for you guys at Collaborative for Children?
In all honesty, for teachers in the classroom, they go into the classroom with a heart of gold to help the children, and they're biggest thing is, you're going to be okay. You're going to be all right.
Right.
Todo está bien, mijita.
Mm-hmm.
Todo está bien. But one of the things is acknowledging that the child has a feeling instead of pushing it. You're okay. You're okay. It's okay to say, I know you're sad. Mommy left. And okay. That's okay. I know you're mad because, you know, Julian pushed your toys over, como whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then move on from that. I acknowledge the emotion. Now let's go on to the next and figure out a proper way to handle the emotion. It's okay to be mad that, you know, Monica got this toy, but you didn't get it. So let's figure out how you can be mad, because punching her in the head is not
right.
going to be acceptable.
Right. You know, because
yeah.
as kids normally would do, that's their first reaction mm-hmm. towards something like that.
And unfortunately, if we don't start working with them early on, helping them to redirect how to handle their emotions, they become that adult that doesn't know how to handle that emotion. And that's where we don't want to be. We want to help these children at the very early age, and that's helping the teachers and the parents acknowledge that they have feelings. Let's not push them away. So children don't always have those words that they need to label their emotions. So labeling their emotions is important, and you giving them those labels is great. But then when they actually give you those words back, making sure to really reinforce, oh, I love how you just told me you were sad. I love how you just told him you were mad at him and everything. Because that's how children are learning and building those skills, is those positive reinforcements, their positive building. And that's how they learn everything. They want to make parents and their teachers happy. And when you tell them that exactly, not just that's good, but that's good that you use your those happy words. That's good that you use those angry words. And that's where it comes
right.
in.
I think it's important to, you know, for the kids to hear, good job. Wow, that was really good, you know.
Telling them exactly, I am so happy. Good job, I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
right, like brush them off.
Brush them off.
I feel
yes,
like a lot of the times, you know, the parents' approach is, don't do that. Why? Because I said so. And it's kind of like, is that really the kind of message that we're sending now? Like, you know, it's not right, but to get them to explain, why aren't things right? Why shouldn't you do that? What is Collaborative for Children's way of handling that, not only for the parents, but as teachers as well, or caregivers? How do you take that into like a classroom setting where the teacher is not the parent, but there's still rules to follow and we need to do the right thing? And let's talk about how you're feeling, like we were talking about, and how we can bring that into a classroom setting.
So children are awesome. They are so resilient, and they're very well capable of realizing I have certain rules that I follow at home and certain rules that I follow in the classroom. So when the teachers are working with the children in the classroom, they can start acknowledging that, and they can actually give homework per se. And for us in our community, how many of us spend minutes and minutes and plus on the road, stuck in traffic?
Right.
That is the most awesome time, if we're not listening to the radio.
Of course.
to be speaking with your children, mm-hmm. and talking to them about what happened today. So instead of saying, you know, well, you know, I got mad because Johnny threw my cars across the room and I wanted them. Well, mijo, you need to just leave him alone and stay away from Johnny. Instead of trying to get them away from how to experience the situation, mm-hmm. they need to be in a place where they can say, this is how we handle anger. This is how we handle. So the teachers working with the parents, because children don't come with instruction manuals.
Right, correct.
So, yes.
How do we make them understand, like, no, you just don't walk away. You try to deal with the situation, especially when you're a five-year-old maybe or a six-year-old, because kids at home act very different than what they act at school. And we know this as a mother, as a parent, you know, they tend to be chiflados at home because mom and dad, you know, cuddles them. But at school, the teacher has 20 other kids that they need to take care of. And exactly. And so that's always like the challenge. What is Collaborative for Children doing to prepare some of these teachers? Do you guys hold seminars, or how is the thought process of trying to get them involved, to get them ready for situations like this?
So Collaborative for Children holds trainings, and then we hold trainings, and then we have trainings, mm-hmm. because it's not a one-time shot. I'm going to absorb the information. We are constantly having trainings. And then in addition, we have several programs that actually send mentors out into the child care centers, mm-hmm. and not only just talk the talk, but they're in there modeling the behavior for the teachers, modeling the kind of interactions that we want to encourage the teachers to have, and then modeling and talking to parents as well. Because while I'm there as a consultant, there's many times that a parent comes in and then we just talk about how it goes.
And it's, I think it's kind of a challenge too. And as a parent, you try to have that communications with your kids. How was your day today? You know? Oh, fine.
Nothing.
Oh, how was lunch today? Fine. Anything interesting today? Nah. It's so hard to have kids open up. One of the things that I started implementing with my 11-year-old is, hey, what happened today? You know, any gossip going on at school? And like immediately that's kind of a trigger, like, oh, you know what happened today at lunch? And that I always make it kind of interesting, or I try to kind of overshare how my day went, like, oh, you're never going to believe what happened at work today. Something that it's to his level. So he feels like I'm sharing something. And so then he feels like, okay, maybe I can share what happened today at school today. And I, like I said, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, but I always feel like with my kid, that seems to open him up, just kind of loosen him up and feel like we're at a different level where we're able to talk about certain things. And I don't know if that's a, you know, a thing that maybe other parents could do. I'd love to, you know.
In all honesty, as I'm listening to you, you can see my smile, because that is awesome. Because what you're doing is you're modeling to your child that he's not the only one that feels emotions. He's not the only one that sees situations happen. And you're showing him, this is the situations that happened in my life as an adult. And yes, you don't face the exact same ones as an 11-year-old, mm-hmm. but you do face issues.
Right.
And you're modeling and mirroring what he could be doing in different circumstances. And maybe when it comes back to it, he'll reflect when he's in a situation. Well, I remember, give me my mom, he said it. Mm-hmm. My mom said this and I could do this in this kind of situation. And then the hardest thing is for them, peer pressure, that they want.
Yes.
So for them to, for is peer pressure. Mm-hmm. For children to know that they can emulate you, their parent, and they respect you and how you've handled situations, they're more likely to follow your example than they are to devolve off into something another child has done or
Absolutely.
Suggests or says. So we're talking about your 11-year-old, mm-hmm. but talking about emotions starts so much younger. I have done trainings where we talk about, you know, you need to mention emotions to the children as they're living them. And as odd as it sounds, I've been in 1 and 2-year-old classrooms when they're having their meltdown. Right before I step in to comfort them, mm-hmm. I get a picture of it. Because one of the ways is for children to relate back to themselves. They're very self-centered and they can't really think about, well, this is how Ramona feels about it. But if they right. see themselves, and if we can reflect back on, mira este, when this is what you looked like when you were really mad, and not in a demeaning way.
Like, right.
You know, this is you mad and you can't be like that, pero this is when you were really mad and Miss Eva was right here with you and I wanted to help you. And it's those pictures of different emotions, not only of themselves, but everybody around them. I have Hot Wheel cars for my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And my son was looking at one of them. He goes, Mom, why is there a picture of a smiling little boy on the back of the car? I said, because children need to talk about emotions all throughout the day. So if they're playing with Hot Wheel cars and right. they can interchange faces on the cars to say, this driver was happy, this driver was sad, and just talking about emotions mm-hmm. that way. Talking about the emotions as you're flipping through a magazine and do we have stuff right there? If she's right there and looking at the pictures and say, oh, what do you think she's feeling? And that's when they're verbal. But I mean, you can start even just identifying that when they're down in ones and twos.
Yes.
He's hitting you because he's mad at you. You bit his arm.
Right, right.
Labeling the feelings they have as soon as they have them. And again, not just pushing them off to the side. It's okay to be mad or sad that mommy left. So labeling the emotions, showing them the emotions, talking about the emotions, and really letting them know that emotions are natural and they are all throughout the day. And why not acknowledge them when they're young and their mind is just soaking up everything about it versus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially when they're so young that it's hard to communicate, you know, when they're one and two, but they have all these emotions and, you know, you can see it, but they don't know how to put it into words. And mm-hmm. as a parent, especially like if you're a first time parent, you don't know how to deal with something like that. So I love the picture book idea that you read it and, you know, that's a good way for them to say, you know, is this how you feel? You know, tell me, you know, how the car is feeling, like you mentioned. So I love it.
De nuevo, si apenas nos estás acompañando, escuchas Mi Comunidad a través de Mega 101, platicando con Eva Villarreal de Collaborative for Children, una organización sin fines de lucro que se enfoca en la fortaleza de educación temprana a través de la ciudad de Houston para todos los niños. Adolescentes trabajan con padres de familia, maestros, educadores y líderes sociales para asegurar el crecimiento y éxito para los niños a largo plazo.
Tell me a little bit about how parents, caregivers, teachers can get more involved and more information from Collaborative for Children.
So Collaborative for Children has a really easy website, collaborativeforchildren.org. So we have programs on there available to parents. We have programs on there available to child care providers as an individual if they want to reach out to individual trainings. And we have programs on there available for child care facilities. And then programs, as I said, our biggest thing is helping to build the child care community in the greater Houston area. We want Houstonians to be able to hire Houstonians down the road.
Absolutely.
And they don't come at us as a full-grown adult. They start their lives in our early child care systems.
Wonderful. And early child care, like you're talking about, from, you know, toddlers, babies, up until
birth. One of our programs is literally called College Bound from Birth, because it starts from the moment they're born, talking to them, giving them vocabulary, giving them words, giving them the names for their emotions, names for somebody else's emotions, names for everything around them. And if you don't speak to the children on a daily basis, go in talking. And in our two-year-old classrooms, I've often told teachers, if you don't go home at the end of the night with a need to just drink some hot tea and soothe your throat, then you're not talking to your kids, because two-year-olds don't know how to understand each
right.
other. And that's your point. I call it sports casting.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're in the classroom explaining the actions of every other child in the classroom. He's because he wanted to go first, or you took his 2-year-olds take a lot of things. But, he's yelling and screaming because you just took his pacifier.
Right.
So yes, explaining to them all throughout the day instead of assuming, well, they knew. They don't.
Right.
They really don't.
And not only do they not know, but then, you know, when they're young, it's like you tell them once and then they walk away and they forgot.
So it's kind of like you.
Yeah, right. So it's something that you have to kind of keep, you know, redirecting them. And it's kind of a constant. And like you said, you know, it's like you have to keep talking to them, especially. Mm-hmm. So do you normally focus on teachers, classrooms, or what is your biggest focus almost? Or it's just a little bit of everything?
We have a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. We focus on the community, talking to the community leaders and starting, and because sometimes it's the adults, the other adults in the community that aren't quite aware. So we help do the education for the adults in the other community. We focus on parents. We have parents as teachers programs because there are children that never make it into a child care center. They stay home con los abuelas, el tíos y todo. And so we want to make sure that whatever experience they're having, there's a big difference between the child sitting on the couch while the abuela is making tamales mm-hmm. or tortillas and the child being right there learning how to draw letters in the flour or using fine motor skills to pull the hojas apart y todo como así. And then they could talk about, hey, you know, I know it's getting frustrating because they're getting stuck because they do get stuck.
Yes.
But then our biggest focus really is on the child care providers because these providers, any given teacher, Texas has big classrooms as well sometimes. So we want to make sure that every teacher has the biggest impact on every child in their classroom. So I talk a lot about two-year-olds because that was always my preferred age to work in the classrooms. Okay. So as a two-year-old teacher, Texas says I could have 11 of them. And so I could have an impact on 11 lives right there in my classroom. If I can help those 11 children to understand emotions, to understand how they can use their body when they're upset, people would be like, Eva, you're teaching them the word mine? I was like, I'd much rather they scream the word mine when they want something than to, you know, snag it or get bit or push or shove or hurts, make it all physical.
Yeah.
And it works out in the end because then as they get older, we can expand mine to that was mine. And then expand that to, hey, dude, give me that back. So we
and it's part of being an, you know, like having an expression, you know, like that's what they want. And you can understand them and they could, you know, make their themselves, you know, understand.
Understood.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Yes. Perfect. Give me the website one more time, Eva, for anybody that needs any information, where you guys located, a phone number, anybody, any teacher, parent that's listening and would like more information.
So any parent, any child care provider that wants to reach out to us, we are at collabforchildren.org. You could do a Google search of Collaborative for Children, and it'll take you back. If you would like to reach out to us by phone, it's 713-600-1100. So you could always reach out. One of the other ways is, and actually one thing I didn't mention, is that we also kind of have a touch in the child care resource and referral program. So some parents have been taking care of their children for so long, and then sometimes they do need to go and find child care or find new child care facilities. So if you call the child care, if you call even 211 and just say, I need a child care resource and referral, they will contact you over to our Collaborative for Children resource and referral, and they will give you information about whatever zip code you want child care in. And so don't ever forget that we're in the 21st century. We have our 21st century. Goodness.
Yes, absolutely.
Good morning. So, yes, don't ever forget we also have our media preference set presence. Oh, my. Don't ever forget we have our media presence. We are on Facebook. We have a Collaborative for Children Facebook page. We have a Twitter feed, Instagram.
Wonderful.
Look for us there. We're constantly sharing about the different ideas that we have currently on our Facebook page. I just caught a glimpse of it. I do follow our own Facebook page of where there's providers online. I mean, our mentors online are actually talking about the same thing about how do you reach out to your children with your emotions. And that's something that you can resave and reshare and and that's how we get it out to the community, is not just hitting the one parent that's listening right now, but también that one parent says, that sounds so awesome, and let me share that. And then, yes, you know, we want to spread the word of this is how we make a difference and make an impact in our children's
lives. I love it. I love it. Absolutely. And then share that with the teachers, and, you know, the teachers can share it amongst themselves.
Yes, yes.
De nuevo estamos platicando con Eva Villarreal de Collaborative for Children. Para más información, la página de internet de nuevo es collabforchildren.org para más información. Y también, como ya lo mencionó Eva, a través de las redes sociales, asegúrate de seguirlos a través de Twitter, Facebook, también para muchos artículos que pueden ellos agregar. Eva, thank you so much for being here with us today and giving us all this great information. Collaborative for Children, I mean, it's an amazing opportunity for parents, teachers, caregivers, and everybody that likes to be involved. Even if, you know, you just, if you have a nephew or a niece that, you know, you want to reach out to, it's wonderful.
Este es que yo le dice cuando yo estoy hablando con personas, hijos ahorita, está bien, si tienen un nieto, si tienen un, any of those, if you have a niece, even your neighbor's child,
yes,
you can make an impact on the children in your community.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Eva, for being here with us today.
Gracias por acompañarnos. Mi nombre es Eli Escobar. Escuchas Mi Comunidad a través de Mega 101. Si te gustaría escuchar de nuevo esta entrevista, la puedes ubicar a través de nuestra página de internet, mega101fm.com. Feliz domingo. Que tengan buen día.